When we were born as children, our parents, they did the azan in our right ear, they did the iqama in our left ear, gave us the acceptance into Islam. So this was automatically applied to you. Wa'ita is zakah. Allah says, if you have money, give to charity. If you don't have money, and you're not reaching the criteria of zakah, you don't have to give. Well, Hajj, Allah says, if you have money, go for Hajj. It's mandatory on you. If you don't have money, don't go for Hajj. That's another one gone. Well, so may Ramadan. Fast in the month of Ramadan. If you can fast, you have the capability to fast in the month of Ramadan. Fast. If you have medical reasons, if you have any other reasons you can't fast, don't fast. Give fidya. So four things out of five are already automatically made easy for you. What's left? We call it Salah. No, there's no compromise on Salah. There's no compromise on Salah. Bain al-Abdi, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Bain al-Abdi wa Bain al-Kufri taruku as-Salah. The difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, Bain al-Abd. Abd is a person who follows Islam, who has the deen of Islam. Wa Bain al-Kufr, and Kufr is someone who doesn't have the fold of Islam in his heart. Taruku as-Salah. Is Salah? The difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is Salah. So I thought I'd mention that point as well, but my topic is not Salah either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many, many blessings in this life. And I always mention this whenever I give a talk. And I always try to start with this topic because we as human beings, we seem to forget the blessings that surround us on a daily basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. That if a person was to count the blessings and bounties in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon that person, it is impossible. And like I said, I always start with this topic because as human beings we seem to forget that we wake up in the morning, the first blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to wake up. Some people go to sleep at night, they don't wake up in the morning. It's true, and the stories within our families, within our friends, within the people around the world, they will tell you that this so-and-so person went to sleep at night peacefully, no problems with them whatsoever. In the morning we tried to wake them, there was no response. So some people pass away in their sleep. Were they ready for maut? With Allah knows best, were they ready? So the first thing we say, and this is why the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along many other sunnahs, and this is why it is implemented in our life. The sunnah is there to help you bring you closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is also there to bring you close to the deen. Which is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for every action he did, there was a dua, and in those duas there are blessings. This is why we are taught them when we go to mosque as when we were kids. We are taught these du'as by our parents, by our ustads. Why? Because when we grow up, we have to implement it in our life. And we have to pass on the ilm and the knowledge to other people. So, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَمَا مَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Now you in your own heart, I'm not asking anyone to raise their hands, but you in your own heart, can be your own judge. How many people say the dua? It's reality. I'm not out here trying to question this person and that person. It's reality. How many of us, before we eat, we say the dua? How many times before we go into the bathroom, we say the dua? How many times after we exit the bathroom, we say the dua? How many of us when we look in the mirror, we say the dua? How many of us when we leave the house, we say the dua? How many of us when we leave or enter a car, we say the dua? How many times do we say the dua when we exit a car? How many times a day do we say the dua when we enter a masjid? How many times a day do we say the dua when we exit the masjid? How many times do we make dua for our own parents when we're looking at them? There are duas for everything. So, the blessing, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. Oh Allah, you gave me life after death. You gave me life? أحيانا, you have given me life. بعدما أماتنا, after I died. The sleep was a temporary death. Unless someone here is got superpowers and they know what they're doing in their sleep. Nobody knows what they're doing in their sleep. You wake up, you go to sleep at 11 o'clock in the night, you wake up for Fajr at 4 or 5 a.m. Between those periods you have no idea, no recollection of what's going on around you. Because it's a death. Someone could be outside your house, someone could be robbing your house, someone could be robbing the opposite house. You will have no idea unless you hear a sound that wakes you up. But that sound that wakes you up is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to put the ruh back into your soul for you to wake up for a purpose. Which is why sometimes when going back to the topic of salah, when we wake up for Fajr, very difficult salah to wake up for. And you're going to say, Imam Sahib, you're saying you're the Imam giving the lecture and you're telling us it's hard to wake up for salah, so how are we expected to wake up? No. What I'm saying is, when we are deep in sleep, it's very hard to wake up for salah. Especially Fajr. And I'm being honest. If anyone can sit here and say, it's very easy, then Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you immense deen in your heart that you can wake up easily for salah. Myself, I find it difficult to wake up for Fajr. And I'll be honest, sometimes I miss Fajr. Not on purpose. And I'm sitting here and I'm being truthful and open to you. Because I myself, I am not perfect. I myself miss Fajr sometimes, not all the time, a couple of times a year. I'm not saying every week or every month. I'm saying a few times a year, 2 or 3 days, I miss Fajr. Why? Because I'm tired. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reason, He didn't wake me up. I'm not saying I'm not waking up on purpose. I set my alarms, but I snooze them or whatever I do. But there's a reason behind everything. There's a reason behind everything. But you have to make the effort. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. You can't wake up in the morning and say, I had alarms but I didn't hear it, I just missed Fajr. It's the second time this week, it's the second time this month, Allah will forgive me. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to firstly try and sleep early, in order that you get enough sleep so you can wake up for Fajr. Now I feel like a lot of people are looking at me and thinking, Imam, so have you missed Fajr a few times a year? How can you admit to this? Like I said, and I need to clarify this before you go to management and you say, why is Imam Sahib leading? He doesn't even wake up for Fajr. No, I need to clarify what I'm saying. A few times a year. I remember last year, I think I missed Fajr on Saturday here. I lead every Saturday. I didn't come once. And I woke up, I think Fajr was at 4:30, I woke up 5:30. And the message was offered by, as soon as I woke up, I said, Zafar Bhai, I slept in. I didn't make it. And he goes, no, don't worry. And he said, don't worry, it happens to all of us. Unless you're waking up for tahajjud and you're staying awake all night, then it's a different story. But I'm not going into that. But I don't even know what, I can't remember what I was talking about. But back to my topic is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the soul. And the soul wakes up every day, just in the same way we woke up today. We woke up today and we came for Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed this to happen. And we don't know if we will be here tomorrow, let alone next Friday. And then when we wake up, the blessings of the eyes, we are able to see with our two eyes. I don't wear glasses, Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with vision without glasses. Many of the people in the congregation, they're wearing glasses. They can't see without glasses. Their vision is poor. So I can't imagine what that person in the glasses is going through without glasses, because I've never had to experience it. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the sense of smell, the sense of taste in our mouth, the sense of hearing in our ears. When you go ask a deaf person, how do you deal with your daily activities in your life? they struggle because they can't hear anything. You go ask a blind person how they get on with their daily lives, how they manage to walk around the house, or how they walk around on the road when they go out with the stick. They're struggling. But we don't understand because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not inflicted that upon us. Yet we are not grateful. And then when an affliction does occur upon us, we are ungrateful. We get ill. Why am I ill? Why have I got a cold? Why have I got a fever? Why is my head hurting? Why have I got a headache? Maybe these illnesses come once or twice a year. For 361 days a year, we are fine. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us good health. We are able to get on with our families, with our work. 4 or 5 days a year, we're ill. We can't get out of the bed. We have a fever. We're vomiting. We've got diarrhea. You know, we're suffering. Now we've turned to ungratefulness. We've turned to ungratefulness. For all those days in the year, we were grateful. But now a little infliction occurs upon us, and now we're saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He's testing me. He's testing me very hard. I can't even get out of bed. Yes, He is testing you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person is ill, it is a means of expiation for his sins. There's blessings in everything. When you're ill, there's expiation of sins. Expiation of sins, that means your sins are being forgiven whilst you are ill. So why are we ungrateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the purpose of standing. Ask those brothers sitting on the chair how much they would like to sit on the floor. Ask them. And most of those brothers I recognize. I remember all of them sitting on the carpet. I remember those brothers sitting on the chair. I remember them sitting on the carpet and doing sujood on the carpet. And now as they're getting elder, the legs are getting weaker. They are unable to go for ruku, they are unable to go for sujood, so they have to sit on the chair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, my talk wasn't even on, there's a lot to talk about, but the time has already ended nearly. My purpose of my talk was the blessings of children, it being summer holiday. But inshallah, I'll cover that next week. But as we're already on the topic of blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Oh mankind, you be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. But if you become ungrateful, وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ, if you become not kufri, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, عذاب of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely descend upon you. And you see it within our families and our friends. One day they've got £100,000. The next day they call you, I've lost half of my money. Why? Because they weren't grateful when they had the money. And when you do have something, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you something, always say Alhamdulillah. Always. Alhamdulillah. And this, if you make this a habit, your children will follow this habit. Your children will follow this habit. They will copy you. Children are very smart, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them such an aql in which they replicate everything, in which they copy everything, especially at a young age. And I can speak now. I couldn't speak 5 years ago because I didn't have children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me, alhamdulillah, with 2 children, both very young. And now as a father, I can say these things because now I understand it. And these children, they copy everything. If you swear, they will copy. If you say Alhamdulillah, they will copy. You know, my daughter, mashallah, Allah bless her, she's 2 years old. You know, whenever she sneezes, she says Alhamdulillah, whenever she sneezes. Why? Because the father says it, because the mother says it, because the grandparents say it, because the siblings say it, because everyone in the house says it. In the same way, my daughter, when before she starts eating, she says Bismillah. Why? Why? And that was even a practice of mine, it was a practice of my dad. Always put it into my daughter's brain that whenever you start eating, you say Bismillah. Because why? You're supposed to nurture them from a young age. You're supposed to nurture them from a young age and explain to them that these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they are virtue to us. In the same way, these children which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, they are blessing towards us. Ask those people who can't have children. Ask them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says explicitly in the Quran, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Oh mankind, I am the mulk. I am the king of the heaven and the earth. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And this creation, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَإِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. وَيُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكُرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah says, I am the one who gives children. Sometimes I give a boy, sometimes I give a girl, and sometimes I give twins, and sometimes I don't give children at all. Sometimes I don't give children at all. Why? There's reasoning behind everything. And sometimes we can't question it. We can't question it. We can't think and question Allah's logic behind something. Someone might complain, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Allah has given me three daughters. Why hasn't He given me a son? Well, He's given me three sons, He hasn't given me a daughter. This is not kufri, this is not shukri. Back to my topic of blessings. How many minutes? 1 minute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us summer holidays. My topic was children and summer holidays, but I started speaking about blessings and then one thing led to another, so forgive me. Inshallah, next week I will cover the topic of children and summer holidays. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these 6 weeks in the summer holidays. Utilize them, make the most of them, spend time with your children. This is the only 6 weeks in the British calendar that you will get when they are not at school, and you can spend that time, build that relationship with them, bring them to the masjid, take them to youth groups, take them to youth activities. This is the time to build your relationship. You know, this is, Alhamdulillah, Nurul Islam Masjid has roughly 150 to 200 children in the madaris, in the madrasa. And this is me speaking about reality again, okay? This is me. I'm not being rude to any parents sitting here. I'm not being rude to any parents sitting downstairs. But how many of those children come for Salah? How many of those children come for 5 times Salah? When I come for Fajr on Saturday, there's maybe about 2 or 3. Where are they in the summer holidays? Where? It's different if you're abroad. It's different if you've gone away in the UK. But you can't be away for 6 weeks. Where are those children? And it's not 1 week, it's every week. Where are these children? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us tawfiq. You know, last thing I want to end. We will be questioned. On the Day of Judgment, we will be questioned regarding our offsprings, regarding our children. Did you bring them upon Islam, or did you let them slip away? These children, like I said, they are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the Day of Judgment, these children will turn against us. يَوْمِ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. They will try to save themselves. But those children who are pious, those children who are good-feeling, those children who have the deen and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on that day they will intercede for those parents who raised them in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us to raise our children. If I have said anything, forgive me. That's my main thing here. If I have said anything to any mothers listening, any fathers listening, please forgive me if I have said anything to offend you. I'm not sitting here to offend you. I am trying to talk to you about reality. And the reality is, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. We are all to pass away one day. Let us make our hisab and our kitab clear before we reach that stage. And just going back on that dua, there is a dua for everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us a beautiful dua, and I urge the community to say it after every dua, after every salah. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. اللهم حاسبني حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبني حسابا يسيرا والله make my حساب and my كتاب make my books open and easy for me when I reach the scales on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. And one more point that's just come to my mind before the Azan. Last week I attended Jumu'ah Salah in a local masjid. Alhamdulillah, it was led by Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, who is the head teacher of our Alimi department in Nurul Islam. And he mentioned a beautiful point. He mentioned that after the Azan, for any Salah, not just Jumu'ah, but after the Azan, before the Salah, you have the mandatory dua that we should read. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'imah. We should read that dua. But before you read that dua, you should read Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. And you should recite the dua of the Azan. Why? Because on the Day of Judgment, that durood and that dua will become a shafa'ah for you. It will become an intercession for you. Little things in our life, du'as, blessings, these are the things which will take us to Jannah. Of course, Salah, Zakah, Hajj, and Sawmi Ramadan, these are fara'id, this is expected of us. But these little things like du'as are the things that will make your mizan heavy on the Day of Judgment. There's so many ahadith which are coming to my mind. One more before I finish. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, when he completed Bukhari Sharif, and if you go to these Khatmi Jalsas, if you go to these Khatmi Bukhari Sharifs, which are currently taking place all over the UK right now, Alhamdulillah, Nur Islam had one last week. I don't know how many people attended. Were you there? How many people came? Only a few. We're having the biggest one of in this borough. We're having the ulama, the big names. We had Hazrat Sheikh Salim Nawab Sahib, Sheikh al Hadith, Sheikh of Hadith. We had Hazrat Mufti Umar Farooq Sahib from Clapton. These are big people who come to our masjid, and we don't attend. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing as a community. We have to be attending these majlis. Anyways, my point is that the hadith, the last Bukhari, Kalimatani Habibatani ila Rahman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kalimatani Habibatani ila Rahman, Khafifatani ala Nisan, Thaqilatani fil Mizan, Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al Azim. What a hadith to end Bukhari Sharif. He says, Kalimatani Habibatani ila Rahman. They are such words that are light on the tongue. That are light on the tongue, which means easy to say. Thaqilatani fil mizan, but heavy on the scales. Which scales? On the Day of Judgment, when your hisab and kitab is being wazened and being weighed. Thaqilatani fil mizan, they are heavy. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. We should try and make the most of these du'as in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged. I apologize to the management for taking too much time and to the community as well. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.